take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
then and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, December 30th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's almost the end of this wretched year. Yeah, let's finally get rid of this. Yes, 2016, we only have to get through one more day without somebody beloved passing away. What a broken heart we all have here for, you know, having the death of Carrie Fisher followed up by the death of her mother, Debbie Reynolds, on the day she was planning her daughter's funeral. Oh, my God. It's like, geez, what else can you do to us, 2016? You almost don't want to tempt fate. But anyway, I hope you are all preparing for a fun and exciting new year coming up in 2017. We'll have plenty to bring you here on the Russ Belville Show and on CannabisRadio.com. All sorts of new podcasts, including my friend Ngayo Belum has a new podcast on Cannabis Radio, Rolling with Ngayo. You got to check it out. It's entertaining as hell. Coming up on today's show, we're looking back on 2016 and playing some of my favorite clips from the year, and we've got a special one to end the year with. I had an extended discussion with the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, in our Reformers Readers segment. He was hawking his book, The Marijuana Manifesto, and we had a lively discussion, and so we'll give that to you at half past here, my extended interview with Governor Jesse Ventura. But also here in the first hour, we, of course, will start things off with the Cannabis Radio News. In the headlines today, we've got some shenanigans in Massachusetts to tell you about, a new law to try to address a driving loophole in California's Prop 64. We've got Maine trying to play the run out the clock game as well on marijuana legalization taking effect. And great news, on the other hand, coming from the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico to deliver for you, and the reaction of law enforcement to the fact that New Year's Eve is happening tonight in Las Vegas. And at midnight, it becomes January 1st, and marijuana becomes legal in Las Vegas and Nevada, the whole state for that matter. And we'll tell you how they're reacting to that. Also in hour one, in Behind the Headlines, we're going to get into this story that's getting some traction. It's been reported on in Forbes now on cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. This is the cyclical vomiting that happens from time to time, and we'll get to the truth behind this cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome when we get behind the headlines, so stay tuned for that. Then in hour two, we'll do a lot of our regular hour one segments. We've got a correction for you on that TGA Friday story that's really not much to correct. But then we're also going to have time for some drug war data mining, and we're going to take a look at the relationship between the price of marijuana and the use of it by teenagers. Does the high price of marijuana deter teenage marijuana use? Then after our safety meeting, we'll get into a radical rant where I'm going to comment on those stories in the headlines from Massachusetts and Maine, where both governments there are trying to delay the opening of pot shops. And I'm going to tell you what I think they're trying to do, what they're up to in these legislative shenanigans. Also in hour two, we've got Paul Armentano's top 10 marijuana science stories from 2016. We can end the year on a happy note. Then we will promptly shut that. No, we'll end the year on a happy note. I'm going to adjust the lineup a little bit. I don't want to close on that last story. Hey, stay tuned. We're back with the last headline news of 2016. I'm Radical Russ, live from Delta 9 Studios in Potland, Oregon.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis. cannabis use isn't the only thing growing, so are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Equio, New Frontier's cutting-edge big data platform, puts the information and answers you need right at your fingertips in real time to help you more effectively run your cannabis business. Go to www.equio.io to sign up for your free membership today. Again, that's www.equio.io. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lee Fredericks.
We're going to get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belleville Show. Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
The Russ Belleville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, December 30th, 2016. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker signed a bill Friday aimed at delaying by up to 6 months the opening of marijuana shops in the state until mid-2018. An aide to the Republican governor said Baker shares the desire of state lawmakers to thoroughly prepare for the launch of a new industry distributing a controlled substance. Baker's decision to sign the bill came as a small group of marijuana activists protested outside the State House. Members of the Massachusetts Cannabis Reform Coalition and the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws faulted lawmakers for passing the bill during end-of-year sessions and said the delay, quote, flies in the face of the will of the voters, end quote, who approved the ballot question legalizing pot. The House and Senate passed the bill Wednesday without a public hearing and without debate during informal sessions in both chambers. Only a handful of lawmakers were present. Newly introduced legislation seeks to ban behavior not addressed by California's new pot law, toking while driving. It's currently illegal to have an open container of weed in a vehicle. It's also illegal to drive while high. But there's a technical loophole in these existing laws because they don't address actual usage while driving, nor do they define whether a pipe, joint, or edible are considered open containers. The proposed Senate Bill 65 would make it an infraction for anyone to smoke or consume marijuana in any form while driving a vehicle or piloting a boat or plane, consistent with the law on alcohol. Earlier this month, Assemblyman Tom Lackey, a Republican from Palmdale, a 28-year veteran with the California Highway Patrol, introduced a bill intended to give police officers the right to use saliva-based roadside testing devices on drivers they believe are under the influence of marijuana. Campaigners who opposed a referendum to make marijuana legal in Maine are now calling for a moratorium on implementation of legalization. Voters narrowly approved legalization of marijuana last month. The new law calls for a 9-month implementation period in which state regulators will make rules for marijuana retailers and social clubs. The anti-legalization group Mainers Protecting Our Youth and Communities say this isn't enough time. The group wants lawmakers to halt implementation until at least summer 2018. The state is also waiting for Governor Paul LePage to issue a proclamation of the results. The law goes into effect a month after LePage makes the proclamation. LePage, a Republican, has questioned whether the marijuana law can be legally implemented. Pro-marijuana campaigners say the moratorium call is a stalling tactic. Medical marijuana dispensaries have begun operating for the first time in the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla said Friday that two dispensaries opened nearly 2 years after his administration adopted a regulation to allow for the cultivation, manufacturing, and distribution of medical marijuana. Nearly 2,000 patients have registered with the island's health department so far to obtain medical marijuana. Officials say the substance can be used in forms including pills, creams, patches, and oral drops. Smoking marijuana and cultivating it for personal use remains illegal, although Garcia has said prosecuting marijuana possession would be given the lowest priority by his administration. Police will fan out in force both in uniform and undercover to keep crowds safe during Las Vegas's extravagant New Year's Eve celebration, authorities said Thursday. While recreational marijuana use for people 21 and over becomes legal in Nevada on January 1st, police reiterated that consumption is not allowed in public places and should be done at home. Using pot in public is a misdemeanor that carries a fine of up to $600. Driving under the influence of marijuana is also illegal. Retail dispensaries are not yet allowed to sell marijuana for recreational use and can only provide their products to people with valid medical marijuana cards. It's an all-hands-on-deck situation for Las Vegas police, who are barred from taking vacation during New Year's Eve holiday period. Clark says all officers will either be working or on call. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Friday, December 30th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
CannabisRadio.com proudly presents the newest and greatest podcast in the galaxy, The Real Dirt with Chip Baker, your insider industry connection to accurate and entertaining information about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. Rolling joints and dropping knowledge about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. The future of legal cannabis has arrived, and we want to give you The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. Look for new episodes at CannabisRadio.com, TheRealDirt.com, or subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platshorn's TheSilverTour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, I want to talk about this story that's gaining some traction. I saw it on Forbes.com and then subsequently checked out all of the reports on it. It has to do with cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. And as it was reported, the problem is, and this is from the story that was on Forbes, Dr. Kenan Hurd, an emergency room physician at the University of Colorado Hospital in Aurora, Colorado, co-authored a study showing that since 2009, when medical marijuana became widely available, emergency room visit diagnoses for cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome in two Colorado hospitals nearly doubled. Oh, no! Okay, so, first of all, let me just make it clear that there is such a thing as cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. I've suffered it twice, and it's not pleasant. And it's basically you just have overloaded your endocannabinoid system by either doing too big of a dab at once, or you ate too much edibles, or whatever it might be, and you get this violent cyclical vomiting fit. And, I mean, you empty your stomach and you're still puking. You're just dry heaving. I'm telling you, it's not a pleasant thing. It really does exist. But there is no epidemic, folks. This is not like, oh my God, we legalized marijuana and suddenly everybody's puking their guts out. I mean, the problem with this is a trick that they use in reporting on studies. And I don't know that it's, on purpose for some of these outlets or they're just reporting what they're told. But it's when they use a ratio or a percentage to try to scare you with something, when the absolute values of this thing are minuscule. All right. This is something I picked up from talking to Dr. Mitch for 8 years now. The quote in question is emergency room visit diagnoses for CHS, the cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, the vomiting, in two Colorado hospitals nearly doubled. It's like, oh my God, nearly doubled. Well, here's the actual numbers from the study itself. The prevalence of cyclical vomiting visits increased from 41 per 113,262 emergency room visits to 87 of 125,095 emergency room visits after marijuana liberalization. Oh my God! Over the course of a year, 87 pot smokers in Colorado puked their guts out in two hospitals. All right. Well, let's see now. The rate of annual pot smoking for people ages 12 and older in Colorado in 2010-2011 was almost 17%. There were 4.3 million people in Colorado. About 82% of them are aged 12 and older. That's about 3.5 million. 17% of that works out to about 600,000 annual pot smokers. So in other words, in these two hospitals, we had a little over 1.5 one-hundredths of 1% of Colorado's pot smokers that year that suffered CHS. Okay, now, maybe that stat's not entirely fair because the guy that's smoking once a year isn't going to be, you know, the candidate for CHS. It's only going to be the heavy marijuana users, right? So I'd like to get the daily use figures drilled down for Colorado. I can't find that online, and it's hard to find even daily numbers for the general population, but the Monitoring the Future study recently cited the national daily use rate among college students aged 19 to 28 was at a 35-year high of 5.1%. So even if we pretend that every CHS case was aged 18 and older, and we pretend that the daily pot smoking rate among everyone 18 and older is 5.1%, which it's not. The older folks don't smoke that much, but pretend they do. We'd still only be looking at 87 CHS cases among 163,000 daily tokers, a rate of just 5/100ths of 1%. And here's the other quote that I wanted to zero in on. He says, quote, "It is certainly something that before legalization we almost never saw. Now we're seeing it quite frequently." All right. So before legalization, there was 41 out of 113,000. That's one for every 2,700 patients. After legalization, there's 87 out of 125,000. That's one every 1,400 or so in two hospitals. So have that for each, right? For one hospital. So in another way to look at it, before legalization, a doctor in one of those hospitals would see a CHS case once every 18 days. You know, almost never. And after they'd see one every 8 days, you know, quite frequently. It's okay. And of course, the bottom line on this, the serious confounding issue here is that any stat you take on what people were doing with marijuana before legalization has the confounding factor of people not wanting to admit they were committing a crime. The possibility of prosecution. This confounds the stats on the kids eating the edibles, the dogs eating the edibles, the people going in for vomiting syndrome. They don't want to admit the real reason they went in there.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Well, what I say we do is just to maintain some calm on this and not blare these headlines of, oh my God, there's a spike. That was how one of these places put it. A spike in this cyclical vomiting syndrome. Oh my God. No, there's probably just more people reporting it for what they've always had or not as afraid to go to the hospital for it.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strains stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Everyone deserves the medicine they need. Aaron's premium CBD essentials and CBD nectar products are made from plant-based organic ingredients, grown and processed in the United States. Our unique formula of coconut oil and coconut water, infused with CBD oil, is ideal for all skin types and provides maximum relief. Aaron's Essentials was formulated by 9/11 first responder and stage 4 cancer survivor Aaron Sieber. As a cannabis connoisseur, Aaron began making and using his own lab-tested medicinal cannabis products to help relieve the side effects of his rigorous cancer treatments. Visit www.cannasaurbrands.com for more information on Aaron's Essentials and learn how you can pay it forward. That's CannaisaurBrands.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
The International Cannabis Business Conference comes to San Francisco, California on February 16th and 17th, 2017. The ICBC San Francisco, Northern California's first business-to-business event since the recent historic election, will bring together top state regulators and industry leaders to discuss permits, business models, and opportunities within the newly enacted laws and landscape. Of course, the ICBC also famously offers some of the best cannabis industry networking, leveraging our worldwide following to connect wholesalers, brands, distributors, investors, and strategic partners. And don't forget to come early for our VIP reception and stay late for our legendary after party. Join us for the longest continuously running cannabis business conference in California at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, the one and only International Cannabis Business Conference. Visit internationalcbc.com for tickets today.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's 45 after the hour, and joining us in our Reformer's Reader is a great guest. To the show, we've got the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Your new book is Marijuana Manifesto. It's your 10th book, and I think the first question on my mind is, what inspired you to want to write about marijuana? It's not the first thing people think of when they think of Jesse Ventura.
Well, because I'll get into the story, but it gave me back my quality of life, that if it wasn't for marijuana, I would not have the quality of life that I was used to and that I enjoyed. And it isn't from me, but I'll just state this. It dealt with a person close to me who started suffering epileptic seizures disorder. And started seizing. It got so bad it was 3 to 4 times a week, and I was in the middle of all this. And so my life was completely turned upside down. Not to say that the person seizing, of course, their life was turned upside down, but mine along with it. And the person went to the doctors, and they put the person on four different seizure, pharmaceutical seizure medicines, one, the next, the next, the next. None of them worked. The seizures continued, and all of them had horrible side effects. So finally, the person went to Colorado and got, at the time, called medical marijuana, and it was three drops under the tongue three times a day. In fact, had a seizure on the way there. And when the marijuana was started, then the seizure stopped. Now in Minnesota, it's legal medical marijuana, and it's changed over to two pills a day. And the person has not had a seizure in over 2.5 years now. And I attribute it completely to marijuana. The only sad thing is, because Minnesota's laws are so restrictive, what would cost $30 in Colorado costs $600 here.
Mm. And that's one of the impacts of these medical marijuana laws as they've unfurled in this country, is that they've gotten more and more restrictive as they've gone on. I would posit that that has to do with them trying to keep it out of the hands of the people who aren't supposed to have it. And that leads us to the discussion of marijuana legalization, which you touch on in the book. We got a lot of states voting on it this year. What do you think so far of the legalization regimes that have gone down in Colorado, Washington, and the other states?
I think it's wonderful. It's when you read in my book, you'll read the history of marijuana. And I think people need to read that to understand that in today's world, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and probably Ben Franklin would all be arrested by the DEA. They would be charged and probably serving 10 to 12 years in federal prison for being drug dealers, because marijuana remains a Schedule One, which is ridiculous. It's the only thing out there where law enforcement gets to say what it is. Nothing else, all other laws are made by elected officials and carried out by legislatures and Congress and things like that. But on this one, the DEA gets to do it. Well, they benefit directly from it. They make money off keeping it illegal. And again, you look at, it was the economic backbone of our country for 160 years. There was a time when we were the colonies where Britain actually ordered the colonies to grow it because they needed it and didn't have the space to grow it. Britain's only about the size of the state of New York. And they didn't have the vast areas in the South and all that. And marijuana was the number one crop in the South until the invention of the cotton gin. Mm. When the cotton gin got invented, then marijuana fell behind cotton for clothing and all of that. But it was the backbone. You could actually, in those days, trade marijuana with England in lieu of money. Mm-hmm. And it was accepted in the barter system. And then, of course, the 30s came along, and William Randolph Hearst and his 26 newspapers, and he used it like today, bought off the politicians in Washington, got it declared illegal because he wanted to corner the market on the paper industry in the fact that he owned thousands of acres of timberland and all these newspapers, and marijuana hemp makes better paper than wood. It's much more renewable. So what he did in the spirit of capitalism, he just got his competition eliminated by the law,
mm-hmm.
which is absurd. And so, and he did it through articles in all of his 26 papers that were horrid. They were racist. They attributed the devil weed to black people. They insinuated that Mexicans smoked it, and that's why they were all lazy. And all of these racial things that were just, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up to a predominantly white country at that time, the white power was the power in the country. You know, people of color had no power, so they were scapegoated with marijuana. And then, you know, and the rest is history now. But it's ridiculous. It's jobs waiting to happen. Colorado's got, what, $300 million new dollars this year to spend on their schools because of taxing pot. I know the first windfall out of Washington was that their judicial budget in the first year fell 15%, and I can tell you as a governor, that's mammoth. Mm-hmm. That's hundreds of millions of dollars right there that you're not spending. People fail to realize whenever someone gets arrested for anything, it costs you money. Exactly. Because it's your tax dollars that have to do the arresting. So while we arrest all these people, and then I'm going to go on with this, and then I'll let you back in. Every time you got the stuff with the national anthem right now, you know, with Kaepernick and all that. I laugh when I hear the national anthem today. You know why I laugh at it?
Uh-uh.
When it gets to the part "Home of the Brave and Land of the Free."
Yeah.
And we have more people in prison than any other country in the world. How do we call, what hypocrisy, how can we possibly call ourselves land of the free when you ain't free if you're sitting in jail?
Exactly. We're speaking with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. His new book is called Marijuana Manifesto. It's extensively annotated. I hear 40 pages of footnotes, so you've certainly done your research. And you mentioned the 30s and Hearst and the demonization of marijuana. And there are some in our movement, and in fact, there's a book out called Cannabis Manifesto. There are some in our movement that bristle at the word marijuana. Why did you choose that as the title of your book? And do you share any of that concern about using the word marijuana versus cannabis?
Well, cannabis, that's kind of like, that's like being an atheist or a non-believer. You know, you go through that if you're one of those. You know, are you? Because atheist sounds so harsh, and non-believer sounds much more acceptable. But the point of the matter is, why not use marijuana? That's what it was called when I was growing up. You know, that's what I grew up with. I'm a product of the 60s. I was in my teen years in the 60s, graduated high school 1969. And back then, it wasn't referred to as cannabis. So if I make the mistake, and we should call it cannabis, I guess, we call it marijuana. I call it marijuana because that's what it was called back in the days when I went and saw Jimi Hendrix, like July 25th, 1970.
Mm.
It was called marijuana back then. So spike it off to my youth.
You're making me jealous with the Hendrix concert there. I'm a little younger than you are, and dang it, I'd only been 2 years old, but I still would have wanted to go. Jesse Ventura, The Marijuana Manifesto is the book, and this is, it's interesting to me that you came about wanting to write this book based on, you know, the experiences of someone you know dealing with a medical issue. Prior to that, had this been something on your political radar? Had this been something you'd
Yeah, I tried when I was governor to get legalization of cannabis. You know, at that time, when I was governor, I could get no cooperation. You see, I was an independent.
Mm-hmm.
And with independence, if you elect independence, you'll get to issues like this. But if you continue to elect Democrats and Republicans, then it's the status quo. I couldn't even get anyone to hardly carry a bill on it.
Hmm.
You know, same thing held true when they want to build all these sports stadiums, right? This is a little off on another subject, but I had a way they could build all the stadiums they want and it wouldn't cost the taxpayer a dollar. And that is legalized sports betting.
Yeah.
It's a $3 billion a year industry in Minnesota, $3 billion. Now, if we take what a bookie gets, 10%, that's $300 million new dollars a year.
Mm.
I mean, you could build this new Viking stadium in 4 years and have it all paid for just on the gambling that's illegal. See, that's the big problem here. When you make things illegal, they still go on. You just get no benefits from them because they're run by criminals and there's no tax revenue made on them. In fact, you pay. Since Nixon declared the war on drugs, we've paid like $1 trillion. Have we been successful? Absolutely not. You know, it's an unwinnable war. As I said when I was governor, people are going to do, in freedom, you have to accept the yin and the yang of it. You want freedom, but also part of that freedom is the freedom to be stupid. And man is going to do things that are stupid. And like I told my staff when I was governor, I said, you can't legislate against stupidity. People will do stupid things, and you can't make every stupid thing against the law. And that's what we try to do with people, because in what's supposed to be a free country, if you take drugs, quote, or ingest anything in your body, in a free country, how can you commit a crime against yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. So does this, your stand then on legalizing marijuana, is that extend to other drugs, prostitution, gambling?
For me, yeah, for me, the big picture, absolutely. Now, when you say, see, because it all comes down to addiction. Addiction's a disease. And, I'll give you a good good comparison here. Let's think of a situation like this. Imagine if all the Starbucks and all the coffee disappeared tomorrow morning and people couldn't get their caffeine addiction. What do you think would happen tomorrow? I think you'd have anarchy. I think you'd have chaos in the streets.
Yeah, indeed.
And anybody that had any, boy, they better have a conceal and carry, because someone's going to steal it from them.
Good point. Now, you brought up sports and politics, a couple of things I wanted to get to. Before we leave the marijuana issue, though, as legalization is unfolded in Colorado, we've got these industries now that are being built around it. And we've also got celebrities that are jumping in, some that we would expect, like Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg. Others who kind of caught people by surprise, like the former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, was the CEO of one of these companies. What do you think about the industry side of this? And would you ever consider putting your name on some sort of cannabis brand?
Absolutely. I've put word out and no one seems to want it, so I thought I'd write a book. seriously, I think it's wonderful. It's a whole economic boom to our economy waiting to happen. I mean, how many people out there work in the alcohol industry? How many people out there work in the tobacco industry? Now, those are two legal drugs. When improperly used or properly used, can kill you. Marijuana's never killed anybody, or cannabis. You know, and you can't overdose with cannabis. You can drink and drinks binge drinking. Look, it's a problem at college. These kids, you know, binge drink and they die. Well, that can't happen with cannabis. You can't smoke enough in one night to die from it. It's never happened. If it does happen, it'll be the first time. And so when you look at it from a safety standpoint, and then you get the argument from people, well, the cannabis today is way more powerful than the cannabis in the 60s. That might be, but just the same as alcohol. You have different strains of marijuana, just as you have maybe a liqueur that's only 18%, or you can go out and drink 151 rum. You know, one of them's going to knock you into tomorrow, and the other one you probably handle all night long. Well, the same can be said, and on the side of if you're an inhaler, say you're a smoker of the cannabis. Well, if it's more potent, you may have to only take one puff. And you're good for how long? Where in the old days in the 60s, you might have to take a dozen puffs or smoke the whole cannabis cigarette. Well, that means you're inhaling more smoke in your lungs, aren't you? So the less smoke, the better. And if it's more potent, that's not necessarily a negative thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't overdose it.
Right, right. Governor Ventura, I got to tell you, checking out our live chat room here at CannabisRadio.com, we've got a grower out there in Central Oregon who says it was an area settled by Minnesota loggers, and he welcomes you out there if you want to start your brand. Another one of our chatters says,
I appreciate it, but I don't think I've had multiple careers. But Farmer hasn't appeared yet, and I don't know, I'm 65 now. I don't think I got a green thumb.
Another one of our chatters has come up with the name for the Jesse Ventura marijuana cigarettes. He calls them Ventura Highway. How's
that? Well, not bad.
Not bad.
You know, like I said, I would be open to it, because for me, I like to do a lot of firsts, and I just signed with RT America, that's Russian television, and my agent is William Morris Endeavor, one of the largest agencies in the world out of L.A., and they told me that I was the first person, first client where they ever negotiated with Russia.
Oh, wow.
For my services.
Interesting.
Which is what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's a first there, so I put a feather in my cap on that. So if somebody out there would offer me an advertising deal for cannabis, I'd jump at it, because I'd like to be the first elected official to officially put my name on something that should be legal. That it to me, it this is bigger than cannabis, too. This is an opportunity for us, the people, to rise up and tell our government that we are the boss. Because over 50% of people now across the board, and the more all the time, when they see the good results and get educated, want cannabis legal. Mm-hmm. Well, it's our government that's telling us we can't. And we need to understand they work for us. We don't work for them.
That's right.
As much as they want to make you believe that they lord over us, cannabis could be the issue that really throws it in their face. You know, we had to start with Bernie Sanders' people, and believe it or not, Sanders' people and Trump's people are the same. They're just at the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I've heard that analysis before myself.
Oh, yeah. They're on the opposite ends, but they're both calling for ending the status quo.
Yes, yes.
One from the far right, the other from the far left.
Exactly.
And it's an amazing phenomenon when you watched it take part over the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And then you watch the two parties destroy it and stifle it down. Well, cannabis could be the issue where we can rise up and tell our government that we're in charge. We want this product. We want to be able to, you know, here's a quote. You want an original quote from me?
Yes, sir.
Here it is. I've said it many times, having grown up in the 60s. Marijuana or cannabis is to rock and roll what beer is to baseball. So imagine if they took away beer at the ball game.
That would be a tragedy.
Well, it's a tragedy because they've tried to take cannabis. I'm trying to say the words right.
Oh, I'm not the one who's got the problem with marijuana. I love the word marijuana.
Well, anyway, they're trying to take it away. I mean, I grew up going to concerts in the 60s, and you could go there with nothing. And it was sent right down the line, and everyone had a wonderful time, and it was some of the greatest times in this country, I think.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, from age 18 to 22 and a half, or 23 and a half, I was in the United States Navy.
Yes, sir. And folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Governor Jesse Ventura. His new book is called Marijuana Manifesto, and it's available through Amazon and other outlets. And I wanted to get toward that political discussion because, you know, your career fascinates me as someone who rose past the two-party politics and managed to become governor of Minnesota as an independent. This year in the presidential race, we've got the two least liked major party candidates ever. What should be the big opening for a third party candidate to make a splash. And yet Governor Johnson and Dr. Stein, between the two of them, can't even register 15% in the polls. How do we break this logjam?
Well, you break it by voting for them. Simple as that. But here's the problem. It's an unlevel playing field for them. Number one, the media never talks about them, never shows their faces when they show the other two. Everything's focused on the two-party dictatorship, and the media's bought and sold by the same corporations that own the two parties. So it's all in a big circle, and if you're not in that inner circle, you're left out. What happened in Minnesota was this. I was polling no better than Gary Johnson, 9% at Labor Day. but I was allowed in the debates. In 60 days, I became the governor of Minnesota because I was allowed in the debates. The problem with the presidential debates, guess who gets decided who gets in? The Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that had the Federal Debate Commission, this so-called nonpartisan commission. Well, it's nonpartisan for the Democrats and Republicans, but it's very partisan for third parties. They set this unbelievable high standard of 15% in the state of Minnesota. If you get 5% on a statewide election, you're considered a major party. 5%. Yet at the federal level, and who set the standard of 15? Where is that in law that you have to have 15% to be included in the debates? Yeah. And I proved it. I went from 9% in 60 days and became governor of Minnesota because I was and you should have seen him scrambling to cancel debates because as soon as I hit the first debate, oh boy, my numbers started heading straight up and the other two sides were canceling out. We had a debate scheduled for, in front of representatives of all the high schools in the state of Minnesota that planned for a year. And the major parties backed out of it because I was zooming to the top, so and they had to do it. You got people need to understand this is the dirtiest business going, and people who are involved in it, obviously, for lack of better term, will jump into the mud with the pigs, and the pigs love it. Mm-hmm. Follow me?
Yes, gotcha.
This is politics is the dirtiest, rottenest, underhanded business there is. They will do anything to win. There's no ethics involved. When I was in office, they never attacked my policies. They attacked me personally. Then they went so far as to the media to attack my children. And that's what you're facing here. That a lot of people wanted me to run for president, but I couldn't bring myself to go in on the whole 100% of doing the job. Because I fought back, but I will tell you this: had I run and say I got the Libertarian, I'd have been in the debates. I'd have shamed them into it. You know how I would have did it? I would have said, Hillary and Donald, you two want to be the commander in chief of the military. Well, I have something neither of you have. It's called an honorable discharge from the United States Navy, and you want to be the commander in chief. That requires a person with courage. You don't even have the courage to debate me. And yet you want to run the military and you want to tell me that you have the courage to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have shamed them into it.
Well done. Jesse Ventura, the book is Marijuana Manifesto. And so looking at the fact that we've got this setup system where we're going to be force-fed these two candidates.
Oh, it's rigged. It's rigged from anyone outside the two parties. It's completely rigged against you.
Yeah. Do you see, though, is there any lick of difference to which one of those people might become president as far as politics or even marijuana goes?
Maybe. Well, Hillary gives you the typical chicken politician answer. She says that, there has to be more studies on cannabis. No, there doesn't. That university over in Israel and the doctor, I might add, funded by the United States, he knows it all. And he's already unequivocally said it could help out the head traumas in the National Football League. They've already said that marijuana cannabis can help post-traumatic stress for all the young and men, women we're sending off to these vile wars that we can't get out of worldwide. It has so many medical uses that really whoever banned it, I think, should go to jail because they've denied humanity. And for all the religious people out there, isn't part of your religion that God put everything here? Well, what right do we as man have then to destroy a creation of God? Because God made marijuana.
First page of the book. So, Governor Ventura, I'm wondering, so Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like we've just disconnected, unfortunately, with the governor. My apologies. Let's see if we can get him back on the line here. We just pushed the wrong button. I hate it when that happens. We will bring him right back as soon as I can get that number pasted back in. And here we go. We'll dial back out to Governor Jesse Ventura talking to us from his home. Sorry about the disconnection there. Governor Ventura, Russ Belville again. Sorry for the disconnection.
No problem. Anyway, I'll finish my train of thought. God made marijuana, hemp. And so why I don't, and allegedly everything was put here for us to use. And hemp has so many uses. It's criminal. It's that they're not using it. I mean, it's biodiesel fuel to help us get off Middle Eastern oil, although I say let's get off of all these engines and go solar completely. But anyway, that's another story. But it's clothing. I mean, I love to tell this one. How can it be any more American than the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Betsy Ross's original flag are made out of it?
Mm, very good point. Governor Ventura.
You know, I mean, can I, if I was in a courtroom, I think I could say, I rest my case.
Well said. Now, Governor Ventura, you briefly touched on sports, and of course, people know you from your past as The Body. One of our chat room people wanted to know, are you still working out? Are you still pumping iron?
Oh, yeah. I just trained differently today. I'm actually right now 2 pounds more than I was when I got out of the United States Navy.
Wow. Okay. And you said, what, you're 65?
I weighed 228 when I got out of the Navy. I'm about 230 right now. I lift weights yet, but I do nothing less than 20 repetitions per set. I do 300 reps a workout 5 to 6 days a week, depending on the body part. And then I really focus in on the elliptic machine because I had a hip done a few back in 08, and my surgeon at the Mayo Clinic, he doesn't believe anyone over 40 should run. Not that they're incapable of doing it, but the pounding.
Yeah.
It'll jar and pound your body apart. And with the technology we have today, like elliptic machines and all that equipment you have, I actually listened and I switched over to the elliptic machine. And right now I do anywhere from a marathon to 40 miles a week.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
And I'm on Medicare now. I just turned 65 this summer.
Well done, Governor Ventura. Glad to hear it. And along that same line of questioning, I had my own question from my childhood that I wanted to ask. And that is, aside from yourself, who do you consider to be the three greatest professional wrestlers of all time?
Oh, again, that's difficult to do. It's like anything. You can't compare generations to generations, like, you know, comparing Babe Ruth to Hank Aaron, comparing whatever to whatever. It's just like in this year's Olympics, what's his name, Bella Karai, the big gymnastics coach, they asked to compare this young girl from the U.S. to Nadia Comaneci, his first great student that he took to the gold medal. And he said, you can't do that. It's unfair. It's different times. Mm. And so you can't, you know, who's the three greatest? Who knows? That's ultimately in the world of pro wrestling. That's in the eyes of the fans. You know, I can't sit here and tell you who the three greatest are. I will say this, I'm the greatest talker.
Well, no doubt about that, Governor.
In my day, they always said the money was made at the mic.
There you go. Was marijuana ever a concern in pro wrestling back in the day? I mean, I've heard lately it's been tested for.
Not a concern, you know. I'm not going to say any really. I'm not going to say anything more than that. It was used for the same things that they would use it today for: pain and other additional things that, in my opinion, are far better than having to go to pharma. I mean, we here in Minnesota just lost Prince.
Yes.
And we didn't lose Prince to marijuana. We lost him to pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, specifically, we lost him to fentanyl. And in Arizona, one of the makers of fentanyl has donated $500,000 to try to defeat legalization there.
Yeah, of course, because they want you on those pills. I mean, when you look at the epidemic going on throughout this country right now with opiates, it's scary. And yet here's some instant feedback, too. Everywhere they've legalized marijuana, heroin use has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it runs in the face of them when they sold us back from the 30s on that it was a gateway drug, that you'd smoke pot today and in 2 years you'll be on heroin in the gutter. Well, this is proving that is not true at all. In fact, the opposite holds true. There's less going to that extreme if access to marijuana or hemp is available or cannabis.
Governor Ventura's book is called Marijuana Manifesto. You can check it out at Amazon.com and other fine retailers as well. And Governor, of course, we've got about 3 minutes left here. And this November, we've got 9 states on the ballot, 4 with medical marijuana, 5 with legalization. And most importantly, California, with its Prop 64 legalization, is on the ballot. Are you in support of these measures generally, California specifically? Should people take a look at these and vote for them?
I haven't read it completely, but be wary. Be wary, because what I say by that is the one that got voted down in Ohio, it was good that it did, because be wary. What the government's trying to do is make it to where you're going to have to buy all your cannabis from, say, an Anheuser-Busch, a big corporation. And they're writing these laws that allow the corporations to take over the business, you know. And I think that's the big thing the cannabis people don't want to have happen. They want poor people to have access to it. We want the freedom. Even today, I'll finish with this. It's still not legal in Colorado, not completely. You want to know why?
Yeah.
I can go to Colorado and I can buy as much tobacco product as I want and fill up a pickup truck, right? No one would say a word to me. I could go to a liquor store in Colorado and I could empty out as much liquor as my credit card would hold and it would all be legal and no one would say a word. Yet, a state resident can only purchase 1 ounce at a time. And a non-resident can only buy a half an ounce of marijuana at any time. Now, so that means it's still not completely legal. And the other thing about Colorado that's strange, you have to have a prescription to get medical, but you don't to get recreational.
Yeah. It's still a long...
That don't make no sense to me at all.
Yeah, we still have a long way to go before we truly achieve cannabis liberation. These little baby steps
and
are frustrating.
We have to keep the heat on, the feet to the fire, because they're going to do everything they can to reverse all this any time that they possibly can, and they got huge money backing them. So the people... like I said, this is an issue where the country can rise up and tell the government, hey, we're in charge. We want this legal. Get out of the way. We're the boss. You're not. You're to carry our wishes out because you take our taxes and spend them.
Oh, Governor Jesse Ventura, thank you so much for those words. We appreciate you joining us here on the show. And this sound means...
You can't handle the truth.
What a perfect segue. Governor Ventura, thank you so much for joining us here for this extended interview.
Bye-bye.
And appreciate that. Looking forward to getting a copy of that book, Marijuana Manifesto. Check it out online. We'll be back after this safety briefing, taking your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ, 650-LEGAL-MJ, when we return. Well, of course, that's a pre-recorded interview, happened around the time of Prince's death, and Governor Jesse Ventura, you know, there's too much there to constrain to 12 minutes, man. I just let him roll, and that was one of my favorite interviews ever, and one of my good memories from 2016. All my good memories from 2016 seem to be marijuana related, come to think of it. Hey, that's the end of hour one. Stay tuned for our last live hour from 2016. All original stuff, no pre-records here. Lose some drug war data mining on prohibition pot prices. I got a radical rant on Massachusetts and Maine. We'll take a look at the top 10 science stories from 2016 to give us something to cheer about. And then my final thoughts for the year. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.